g'day and thanks for joining us here at the infrequent Once When I Was Cool, coming out to your earballs. Not too often. It's been a while since we've been able to release regularly, but here we are now. I don't know how we're going at the moment. It's, you know, with everything going on, it just makes it a little bit difficult. My name's Dave, and joining me again is my co-host, Wee. How are you, Wee?
Yeah, good, thanks, Dave. It's, look, been a while, and it's just one of those things. You know, life sometimes gets in the way of us being able to get together and do some recording.
Yeah, the joys of being a grown-up, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. As always, getting us out there to your earballs is producer Simon, who is still the auspicious third part of the
third wheel.
Third wheel of the duo.
Yep.
Life.
And unfortunately, we're probably not going to have Simon with us for too much longer. We have to wait and see. Simon, of course, is planning to go off on his jaunts overseas and going to sort of the middle of Eurasia. I think he's going to Kazakhstan or Tajikistan or one of those sorts of places, going over to do some work over there. Not sure how long he'll be away for. The next time you hear us, we may be a lot worse if it comes down to me to have to edit things, but we'll see how we go anyway. So, but Simon's here with us for the moment. So terrific sort of stuff.
Well, you know, I won't produce anything or do anything like that. And, good luck in Durkistan.
Yes, indeed. All right. So, you're a fine specimen of health, I see.
Yes, I am.
You know, I blame it. It's good now. We can blame it all on the lockdown, that we've had 2 years of being locked down and not allowed to go out and do anything. So what do you do other than binge watch television and sit on your couch and drink coffee and Coke and all these other sorts of things that are no good for us?
Yeah, because
sorry about that. That's one of my dogs deciding to be offended by something.
He was offended by you saying it was the COVID and not just us before it.
I didn't say the COVID. I said the lockdown.
Same, but different.
Mm. One thing about it, though, one thing that you've got to appreciate is it's really allowed me to really strongly develop my laziness. It's really allowed me to hone it to a fine art through the arts of procrastination, indifference, and apathy. You know, just my laziness has really been fine-tuned on a level now I reckon I could almost represent, you know, go to that represent level of laziness. As attested by my having to now take blood pressure tablets, as my BMI crashes through 35. There you go. I'm on the borderline of super obese.
You want to be a superhero, didn't you? That could be your superhero name.
Yeah.
What's your superhero name? Super obese.
Yeah. My superpower is apathy. So anyway, on that note, what I'm getting at is when I was cool, we used to use exercise equipment and do different types of exercise that are quite different to what we encounter today.
I'm going to bust it out. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Look, I remember, let's just get it out there from the very beginning. Mm. We are still svelte young men. No. It's just under a lot of layers of fat and hair.
I'd like to say, rather than svelte, more likely to be felt, in felt like doing something else.
Yep. So we did, and you know, the different types of equipment ranged from, where I grew up was one gymnasium, and then anything else was anything that you sort of had at home was off the home shopping sort of channels, the infomercials.
Of those things were downright dangerous as well. When you look at it now, the equipment that they had really could do you damage.
Look, OH&S has a lot to be accountable for. And look, it was also, not only was it downright dangerous, it did thin the crowd a bit, because there were probably a lot more injuries from the equipment than actually any good.
Well, one of the first ones that I remember, there was always a weight bench. I mean, my old man always had a weight bench of some description. And then, you know, as he got older, he started going to the actual gym.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. That's great. That he did that. I mean,
He was always, I don't know. He used to do all mad. No, don't get too excited. He used to do all this mad sort of gonzo stuff. Like, we lived in a subtropical region, and he'd go jogging in the middle of the day in a waterproof jacket and track pants in the middle of summer, and, you know, nearly have a heart attack, but he'd be trying to sweat it out. Sort of like the jockeys do, where they go and mow the lawn in the middle of the day in a wetsuit to try and sweat off some kilos so they can make weight. You know, and he never lost weight because he always used to eat rubbish. He used to do all these things. But I remember when he was younger, he always used to run, and he always used to have a weight bench that he used to use and had around the house. And I find that now that weight benches are now the new jet skis, are the new golf clubs, are the new things that are just the fad that end up on Gumtree or eBay or one of those sorts of things going for fairly cheap.
The weight benches are a great addition as storage, I think, because you multiple levels of storage. That's about and I think when it's weight, you just put stuff on it and it just waits there. That's mm-hmm. where I think.
Yeah, wait and see if somebody else will buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story of Kiwi Paul?
No.
Our mate China was telling me a story once, because he's as tight as anything comes, and he put this weight bench on onto Gumtree, and, you know, the usual sorts of people you get from Gumtree just messing you around. Anyway, he puts this weight bench on, and let's say it's for, you know, $450. Say the guy rings up and he agrees to, you know, $450, and it was like a 12-piece weight bench or something like that. And the guy turns up on the day and hands him the cash, and Kiwi Paul counts the money, and there's only $400 there. And the guy says, "Oh, there's only $400 here." And the guy goes, "Oh, well, that's all I've got. You know, take it or leave it." And he says, "Well, you know, you can do one of two things." He said, "You can pick something out of there and leave it behind. So one piece you're not going to get. Or you can go into your car and get the other $50 you've obviously got sitting in your wallet in the car, and go and get it and come in, and you can have the whole thing." Bloke said, "I don't have it." And he said, "All right, well, pick one piece there that you don't want and leave it behind." And so the bloke picked up a dumbbell or something like that, and Kiwi Paul hung on to it. The bloke took the rest of it, and I think he just threw it out or gave it to somebody else or did something like that. Didn't get the money for it, but yeah, he was buggered if he was going to get screwed over like that. So, yeah, anyway.
That's awesome.
That's a typical story of weight benches.
Yeah, yeah. They end up, people getting them with great intentions. We've had exercise equipment with great intention. I get to a point where I just look at it, and if I get asked my opinion on it, I just go, I'm not going to give you an opinion because I'm not going to use it.
Yep. It just hurts your back and your shoulders and everything just looking at it.
And my pride.
Sorry, I've got a new kitten, and he's in the background. He's doing his best parkour moves at the moment. He's attacking shoes and flying up fly screens and all those sorts of things. So if you hear some scrabbling in the background, it's my kitten instead of my dogs for once.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing I sort of remember moving on from there was, when we looked up before, I never actually had one. I don't even know if I ever really saw one, but it was one of those vibrating machines that you used to put around the back of your backside or around your waist or something like that, and turn it on, and it'd just jiggle. And that was be all it would do, is just sit and jiggle. And that was meant to be the thing that helped you lose weight.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a bit technical, you know, someone would just put it around their thighs and they just work on their thighs. But I don't, never understood the actual physiology of it or how that would actually work. I mean, if that's the case, with the amount of weight I got and it jiggling when I walk, I should, by their theory, I should be thin.
Or driving out in your old four-wheel drive.
Yeah, you know, the old Zook, I should be as thin as they come.
We were thin when we had them, though, mate.
Yeah, thin.
Yeah, thinnish.
A little thinner.
The only thing thin about me now, mate, is my hairline. Look at that.
Oh my god, it's actually, you can it's almost back to the back of your neck.
That's what I said to somebody: don't have a forehead anymore, got a five head. Awesome. So those vibrating machines, though, I don't know that I've ever actually seen one. I've only ever seen them on the TV, and it was usually people in swimsuits for some reason who were dressed right down to have this sort of vibration thing going again. And funnily enough, on those shopping networks or the commercials that you usually get on one of the off-brand digital TV channels, they have similar sorts of things where it's now just a vibrating platform that sort of wobbles from side to side that put your feet on. And it either fixes your circulation by, I don't know why it fixes just your lower leg circulation, or it helps you lose weight just by standing on this wobbling sort of platform. So, yeah.
And you see
a great expense.
You see a lot of elderly people sort of trying to flog it off too, saying, you know, I use this and it helps my circulation. All I can keep thinking is the broken hips.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You put it on setting, you know, 4 of 10 and it suddenly bucks you off and you're on the floor with a busted hip.
Yeah. And that's but you look at all of those commercials, they're always got some young buck on there that's got not one scrap of hair on his body. I mean, I got hair growing out of my shoulders now. I mean, I don't know what's going on, you know, and I've got patches of hair on my back that I never had before.
Mm.
So, you know, and they got these young bucks on there that don't have a scrap of hair, have an 8-pack instead of a 6-pack.
Those weird ones on the side, those weird sort of bulges on the side, I don't get them either. I'm sure I've probably got them somewhere, but they're a long, long way underneath.
They're deep down.
It's going to take a drilling crew like on that Apocalypse Comet movie to have to try and get down to it. What was it called? Armageddon.
Yeah, Armageddon. Yeah, the whole thing is I keep telling people if they say anything, I've got a 6-pack. It's just deep down. It's there. And it's more like a keg.
No, I don't sit up in bed anymore. I sort of roll to the side and sort of turn into a liquid and pour myself out of bed and hope that I still land upright.
There's always the fear you'll roll right off the bed, and that's worse trying to get up from that position,
especially in the cold.
Yes.
Sorry about that. A quick break there where I just had to evict the kitten. He was causing too much mayhem and about to turn the computer off, so we would have lost everything. Pity, because
awesome.
Yeah, because you know, this is gold. So another one of the exercise fads, I guess, that we could talk about, and mainly sort of in the 70s and 80s or very early 80s, was roller skates.
So I think roller skates ended up being, I think Xanadu had a lot to do with them.
Had a lot to answer for.
Yep. That, a bit of fashion, hair, and which I thought was awesome back in the day, but roller skating was a big thing, you know, the whole Xanadu thing. And roller skates are back in now. You see, you can.
Well, you know what? You know, it's big down here now is roller derby. In Hobart, there's a women's roller derby league.
Nice.
It's actually a league. They've actually got a statewide competition. I know some of the girls that I work with actually are in it. They're in their sort of late 20s, early 30s. And man, the bruises and things that they come out with is amazing.
I sort of have an idea how it works, but I don't really know the gist of it. But it just looks that's only a female. I've never seen males do it.
No, I don't think I have either. But
who identify as females do it.
There's quite a lot of the girls that do it. You know, and they're not big girls either. But they're you know, hard as a coffin nail, man, to do that sort of thing where you just skate round and round and try and knock each other off the track.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd say bring it back.
Well, it's back.
It's back.
But could you ever roller skate?
Yeah, I used to love roller skating. We used to have, where I lived, there was several little little villages sort of on the around the town that I lived in, and there was a place on the south side called Glen Applin. Mm-hmm. And down there, and actually my family used to farm down there quite a bit. There was at the Glen Applin Hall, they used to have roller skating every Friday night. It was absolutely awesome. You'd go out there and you'd roller skate around. There'd be about, you know, 60 kids out there roller skating. It was just phenomenal. It was absolutely dangerous. OH&S, they had the big it was the wooden floor with a stage on it.
So typical country church hall.
Yeah, and it had at the side had like a little veranda things that are off it with the big wooden posts, and you would skate around the wooden posts. So you'd be skating around and just knocking your mates into the posts as you're going around. But it was unbelievable.
Did it keep you fit?
Yeah, when I was a teenager into my 20s, early 20s, I was pretty fit because I used to play quite a lot of sport and do all that sort of stuff.
Did you ever have people just roller skating around town? I've never seen that.
No. As you know, I was a skateboarder and we were the most hated people in the town, and there was only a handful of us. That anything that didn't have an engine attached to it, it was deemed to be and moved under your own sort of momentum was deemed to be
antisocial.
Antisocial and worthy of pitchforks and all of those sorts of mobs. It was crazy.
Right. Well,
what about you?
No, I was terrible. I think I had roller skates. I remember the old roller skates that you used to just put your shoe into and you'd strap them up around your shoe.
Yeah.
And
with the real hard wheels. Yeah.
But they also just had like a bit like the things that you measure a shoe with. You know, those things you go to the shoe shop and they measure to see what size you are. It was like that, but rather than being solid all the way through, there was just one sort of
bar up the middle.
And the sides of your foot would hang over the edge, and there was a semicircle at the front and a semicircle at the back for your heel. And I remember they were just leather straps, like a belt type thing, where you'd tighten them up, and it's not like today where it's sort of a strap and you can pull it and tension it. You used to have to find the little notch to put over your shoes. And I think it was only two straps, like one at the front, one at the back, like a pair of metal sandals with wheels on it. Yeah. So I think I'm pretty sure we all had them. I wasn't any good. I think Glenda was okay, and Chris Dahl was probably good at it as well, but wasn't the sort of thing I could do. And we had a driveway that went up to our garage because we had an external garage, as people did back in the day. But rather than being a solid piece of concrete, it was just two wheel tracks.
Two strips
with grass in the middle. So it wasn't even enough to sort of get up and down and but I think the girls could do it. But no, I was never any good at it. And years later, when I tried rollerblading, I was no good at that either. So I don't have the patience to do it. The thing that freaked me out about roller skates is you'd see people belting along and then they go to stop, and you'd have to sort of stand on your tiptoes because the stopper's on the front rather than on the back, which just didn't seem natural to me. And I think probably one time when I did it, I fell over or something like that and figured that's enough now. I'm not doing it anymore. I can't do it straight away, so I'm not going to bother.
Fair enough. That's just everything in life, really.
That's gotten me through life, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what's the next item on the agenda there that you have, Dave?
I guess the next fitness sort of thing, and most you talk about you had a gym in town. Did it have a squash court or a racquetball court attached to it?
No, it didn't. We had a standalone squash court, and it had three courts on it. And again, I used to love squash. I used to play it after school, and I played even as an adult in the men's comp and things like that. And then they turned it into an indoor volleyball.
I played indoor volleyball, was never good at squash. And if you're not sure what squash is, it's pretty similar to racquetball. So
I used to quite enjoy it. It was very cardio and very very hot and sweaty. It was
any squash court, any setup always smelled weird. It always smelled of sweat and
desperation. That's what you did out there.
Yeah, it's they always smelled weird, and they were, you know, the little squash balls were always, you know, the little black sort of spongy sort of ball that you really had to belt into to get it to move.
And that's the thing with squash. I think a lot of people used to think, you know, you'd have different dots on it. You'd have a red dot ball, a yellow dot ball, a white dot ball, and they were used for different competitions. They were a different sort of thickness in ball, and they used to have a lot more. I think the red dots were like the faster ones, but you'd have to warm them up like a set of tires, because that's what it was like. When it was cold, you'd bounce it and have no bounce in it. So you'd sit there and you'd smack it a couple of times and get heat into it, and then it'd be like a tennis ball and even and bouncier than that. And that's why you'd get them going from right down the back. You'd hit it off the back wall, off the side walls and things like that.
Mm. There you go. Yeah, I'm not going to make a joke about you sitting there smacking your balls and warming them up, but...
No, don't do that. Don't make that joke.
Not going to say anything. All right, so what about aerobics? Did you ever do aerobics?
No. No,
I did not. My sisters were big into aerobics, and I went with them a couple of times, but I could never get into the what you had to wear, and I used to just wear big baggy sorts of shorts and stuff like that. And it was on everywhere. It wasn't just at a gym or at an aerobic studio, as they were called. You know, there were church halls and there were all sorts of places, and they just go and get like the latest summer hits type thing and just bounce around to it with no sort of real purpose.
But back when we were younger, they used to have in Australia, they used to have aerobics Oz style. It was on for half an hour every day, and I used to just think, these girls are just phenomenal, you know, very fit. But then
that's where they do it, like on the waterfront in Sydney or the Botanic Gardens, yeah, and things like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing they used to have back in the day, and they probably, I have no doubt they probably still have it now, and I'll have to have a look at it when we're finished, is they used to have aerobics competitions where they used to have like, you know, male and female, or two males and two females, and they do like a routine, and they'd be bouncing around everywhere. So it was a real big thing in the 80s and 90s.
And you had to have the clothes that went wear it, the leotards and the is the leotard like the swimmer's part, or is it the leg part?
I think it's like it's the whole thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I looked atrocious in a leotard.
And the all lumpy and weird. Like yeah. Like one of those rolls of pork or ham that you get that have got the strings around them.
Yeah.
Because there was quite a few, because there was jazzercise as well. And then there's the aerobics Oz style. And then out of that was the TV ones. And so what was it, Sweating to the Oldies that Richard Simmons did, was something like that?
Yeah. He was a big the big phenomenon with Richard, and I'm sure
he was successful. Everyone knew him.
Yeah, it was more about the way he'd motivate people. I think that was part and parcel of it. And I think he was a bit of a unit before he started doing that. But
as in fat,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of his angle was, I think he was gay, and you know, everyone loved him because he was gay. And if he's not, I'm sorry that I've offended you.
I think he was just more flamboyant and out there, but I think he more went for people.
Isn't that gay?
But I think he more, I think it was more just his style, and he didn't just go for these super fit, attractive people. He more had more common, everyday type people that there, and it was almost like a bit of a Biggest Loser type thing.
Yeah, that you'd always see him there in their tracksuits.
They weren't that big.
He'd be in his short shorts and his little singlet tops, the people there, the women would be screaming and carrying on at him, and they'd be in their big tracksuits and things like that. So, yeah, he was a bit of a phenomenon, and I think it was. It did get people moving, I suppose.
Yeah, it was popular, and he sold a lot of videos. Probably the other one equivalent of that was Jane Fonda. She seemed to sell a lot of stuff as well.
Yeah, it wasn't just because of what she did. It was how she looked.
Oh, okay. Righto. There you go. Was she all right, was she?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? You don't know.
I remember her from the movies in the 60s and 70s. I don't really know what happened to her in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she was okay. Ultimate pinup girl. Come on.
Right. Okay. All right. And so I guess that takes it to doing aerobics, doing exercises at home.
The videos. Did your sisters ever have the videos?
Probably.
For the aerobics. There was a butt workout, and then there was a thigh workout.
There was one that you used to get like the board, and then that had the you could put different, I think it was step classes or something like that. And then the fitter you were, the higher the step you had. And I remember going to a couple of them with, I think it was Chris Dahl. And I didn't even bother using the board, but you know, you'd have different sorts of levels of step thing that you have. And I'm pretty sure we had a step at home that you could do the exercises on. But probably the other thing that came out of that were things like the Stairmaster, where, you know, it was just basically a stepping machine. Boring. And then probably the cheaper thing that you could get that a lot of people seem to have was the Thighmaster, which was that butterfly shaped thing. Where you used to put it between your thighs and sort of squeeze it together, and you could change the resistance out of it. But that always looked a bit dangerous, especially as a male, because it's got these moving parts at the top in a V shape that you got to put sort of up between your legs there. And if you, you know, if you got it a bit wrong, the pinch risk looked to be quite high, but I'm sure it wasn't.
I'm sure it probably wasn't or was, but I would never have used it, didn't use it. But yeah, it was designed for obviously your thighs, because it was called the Thighmaster, but also about, there was this whole sculpting of your bum and things like that. So there's lots of different things back in the day that targeted different things. There used to be those curling sit-up machines.
Those round sit-up machines we had one of them too. The old man bought one of them.
Yeah, I had one.
And depending on where you...
About three times, and then I'm like, yeah, no, I'm bored and lazy.
And then you'd hold them in different positions to make it a little bit harder. You'd put your hands in different spots and I forgot about them, yeah. And probably the other thing that you got was the exercise bikes. Remember the old exercise bikes? And you used to have the arms that moved and had a big fan in it. I don't know what the fan was for. I think it was resistance or something like that.
It was resistance, but I have to say the only good thing about that is it'd keep you cool while you were doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And it used to make an enormous noise. And of course, your personal headphones and things like that weren't good. And I remember gyms back in the day didn't have music blaring the whole time either. I think you'd either had the radio on or maybe had an album or something like that, but there was never anything really blaring. I kind of remember them being fairly silent.
Yeah, which wasn't a bad thing. But... you know, the biggest thing, and again, OH&S, how many people lost fingers and how many kids lost fingers because mum would have been on the exercise bike and the kids came up and the cage around it was big enough just to get your fingers in, not pull them out in a hurry. You know, so a lot of that equipment had a lot of safety issues. You know, the old exercise bikes where you had to tighten down the ratchet on it because it was like a hard tire, and then you'd dial it down and dial it up to get the resistance. But the amount of time that you think, oh, you know, the resistance is high or it'd slip, they'd break, and it'd just
ruin you,
just do some damage.
Sorry, we're just back again now. Sorry, where were we at? What were we talking about? How many kids got injured because things would break?
And I think we were talking about squash and things like that as well.
That was a while ago.
Was it? Yeah.
So probably the other thing I remember, it would have been in the 70s that my old man had, and he loved all those different bits and pieces of weird stuff, exercise equipment, but it was one called the Bullworker. And it was probably one of his more favorite type things. And I remember he had it for years and years afterwards. And if you get a chance and you're near a computer, just Google Bullworker, B-U-L-L worker. And it's basically a long, what would you call it? Almost like a strut type thing.
Yeah, it's a cross between a massive bike pump and a bow and arrow.
Yeah. So
a compound bow.
It had, it's got a like a metal cylinder with hand grips either end, and there's a spring in the middle, and you have to push them together, and you could change out the spring to make different levels of resistance. Although I think the original only ever came with a one, and you couldn't pull it apart. And then down either side, it had would you call it a nylon rope or
nylon rope?
Yeah, with plastic around the outside that you could use it for pulling apart. Or you could use the other one for pushing together. So it was working out different sorts of different sorts of muscles at the time, and I'm sure he used it. But it, you know, I remember we got it when I was a kid, and we still had it when I was maybe even when I was a young adult. I don't know whatever happened to it. I'd have to ask Ruby. I'm sure she'd.
It'll be somewhere then.
Well, it's probably still floating around there somewhere. I don't ever remember him chucking it out. Didn't chuck anything out. So, yeah. Do you remember them?
No. Yes and no. I only remember seeing them. I've never used one. It was a bit like the old spring things, you know, where you'd stretch them apart.
Yeah, where you'd pull them apart and you had to be careful that you didn't pinch yourself with them either.
Or the ones where you got your hand grips, where you'd get them together and you'd crunch them together. You know, they'd look like a pair of plier handles without the pliers, and you'd have to squeeze them together.
Yeah. Yep, that's them. Oh, look, it's got a website, bullworker.com. You can still buy them.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
They're not actually sponsoring us either, so.
No. If they saw us, they'd they'd think twice of it. Right, there you go. So Bullwork is still around. It's one of those weird sorts of things, but it's good to see that it's still going.
But a lot of those things, and you know, if you have a look and on the channels, they're still selling exercise equipment now on TV.
There's all in one weight bench sort of things. I always wonder how they ship them to you. Shipping must be appalling, the with the weight that it's got, especially if you want to get it to Tasmania.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's like a whole other country. I mean, there was the ones where you'd have the ab swings where you'd sit still and you'd move your bottom around, and the one with the wheel where you push out and you'd do the...
That little rollerball, the thing that had like a little wheel in the middle and you had two handles either side, and you'd get on your knees and push it backwards and forwards like a push-up type thing. We had one of them as well.
How many broken noses and missing teeth came out of those? I'd get out there and I'd have to just stay on the ground. And I can do the out, just can't do the in.
I was watching a random video on, I think it was Instagram or one, you know, how those videos sorts of come up. And it was a guy, because I watch a lot of NFL, American football clips. There was a guy doing his training thing, and he was basically doing a push-up, lifting up, and there were all these little round weights, probably stood, the tall as a drinking glass type things, and they were round and solid. Wouldn't move. And he would do a push-up down, lift up, and then jump to the one behind while he was still in that push-up sort of pose. And then he got to the one closest to him, and his hands missed completely, and he just completely face-planted straight into it. It was terrific.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I love those sorts of things.
Yeah, exercise. It'll kill you.
Slowly.
Yeah, very slowly. I get chest pain driving past the gym these days.
A guy.
But when you look at those, and if you even go back a bit further and say through the 80s and now, used to be those those poles you put between your doorways to do your pull-ups. And if you want to watch some funny clips, see how many fails you get to those. Awesome.
The newer one of them is the stripper poles that they have in the middle of their bedrooms, and all these people get on them and try and hang upside down and land up, and either the pole comes away from the roof
when they're swinging around,
or they land on their head when they sort of their legs aren't as strong as they thought, and they just go whap.
Yeah, but the other thing which was meant to be good for you were those inverter machines. You know, you put your ankle in it and then you'd stretch back and then you do sit-ups and stuff on them.
Hanging from the door frame again.
Yeah. There was those. But the ones that would be on the pivot where you'd go up like that and you'd be hanging upside down, those inverter machines.
Are they like a tilt table that they use for people who've had long-term head and brain injuries?
Yeah, similar.
Okay.
Similar. And the thing is, you'd get people who could actually get back but couldn't get themselves back up the other way. So, people will be upside down until someone come home from work. But the one...
with a blood pressure of 300.
Yeah, they come in and there'd be just this big solid mass
of goo. Or they'd be upside down with one eyeball hanging out because the pressure's pushed it all away.
Yeah, but, you know... The ones where you'd be hanging upside down in the door frames and doing sit-ups, and it that stuff had just come away. You, the two things you're banking on: the person who built your house didn't do the door frames on a Monday morning or a Friday afternoon, and the post, the beam that goes that you were hanging on to was made by someone who actually knew what they're doing and had a strong enough spring in it.
And also that you've got enough core strength to be able to do a half sit-up, and then enough muscle strength after you've worked yourself too far to be able to pull yourself that little 3 inches to be able to unhook yourself. Otherwise, you're up there for the up like a hanging slab of meat in the back of a butcher's.
Yeah, yeah, or in the back of some sort of van that you shouldn't be in.
So probably the other one, home exercise fad that I remember, and it's probably we're getting probably a bit too modern after this, was Taibo. Was it like a pseudo boxing type thing?
Yeah, it was a cross between Taekwondo and boxing.
Oh, was it? I thought it was named after somebody.
No. That's where you get Taibo from. So Taekwondo boxing, Taibo. So yeah.
It was named after two dudes, one named Tyson, the other named Boris.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's where
it wasn't from. Called Tybor.
No, that's right.
That's your Mortal Kombat name, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Hmm. And my stage name.
Hmm. Your pseudonym.
Yeah, my pseudonym.
Everyone should have a pseudonym.
Absolutely.
Did you ever get into that?
No.
I think it was a forerunner to Pilates and Zumba and all that, or probably not Pilates. It seems to have a bit of something going for it because it stayed for a long time.
Well, that other one that we're not mentioning.
Yeah, no, let's not mention them. The vegans of exercise.
But yeah.
Did you ever have any injuries?
From exercising? Yeah.
Like in those sorts of fad sorts of things.
Yeah, the sit-up one, I ended up hurting my neck because I got to a point where I was lazy and I thought if I move my neck, it'll be okay. But I sort of, hurt my neck a bit off it, and then I just didn't do it. It was too hard.
Mm.
I still needed someone to hold my ankles. I got to a point where I was putting my feet up under my couch to stop me from sort of cheating. But, I used to go to the gym when I was like a young fella, say 15 or 16, but that was because I was playing a lot of soccer back then and things like that. So it was about, leg strength and stuff like that. I don't understand these 24-hour gyms. I know people at work that go to the gym every day. Some of them go twice a day, and I don't get it.
Mm.
But each to their own, I suppose.
Mm. Fair enough.
Most of the people that do all this fitness are the most unhealthiest, sickest people I ever come across. You know, they get a flu at the drop of a hat because they're so, or they're dropping weights on their foot. I had someone, and I used to say to them, they needed to stop going to the gym because it's actually causing them more harm than any good. They'd be dropping weights on their toes or, did something with one of the machines or did this or did that. I'm like, it's obvious, you're not designed or meant to do this.
Mm. But did I ever tell you the story? It's got nothing to do with gyms or exercise, but I think it's funny. I ever tell you the story about when I was first started as an emergency nurse way back in the early 90s, and there was a young guy came in who was I think I was 22 and he was probably about 25, and he was working on a roof site. Did I ever tell you about this? And young guy, skinny young guy, looked as fit as anything, but came in with this chest pain. He came in by ambulance because he had chest pain and, couldn't get rid of this chest pain. It was horrible and started suddenly. We're going through and asking him, and he was on a work site, and so he was up on the top of a roof doing something. And so there was me and another girl there, and we were going through the motions of, putting him on monitors and taking all the, all the tests that you have to do and an ECG or an EKG for our North American friends and going through and doing all that. So we lift up his shirt to take his shirt off because, to get a good tracing of your heart, you need to be able to put stickers on the bare skin. And I looked And right on the left side of his chest, just off to the left side of his sternum or his breastbone, was this round red mark. It was probably about the size of, 20 cent piece, a dollar in America, a silver dollar in America, about that sort of size. And it looked fairly fresh, and it was this red mark. And I said, what is that new? Is that something that's up there? He said, yeah, that's where I've got the pain. And the girl that was with me says, well, what happened? And he said, well, there was a bee on my chest and I'm allergic to bees. So I went to hit it with a hammer. That's why he had chest pain. And we laughed and laughed at him, and he got really annoyed and got up and left. We just laughed uproariously. Yeah, so a young guy came in because he had chest pain because he hit himself in the chest with a hammer to try and get rid of a bee.
That has nothing to do with exercise, but that's awesome.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, no, that was good. We should just do it. Some of our stories.
Mm. All right, let's do that next week. We'll do. We'll have to try and keep them clean though, because a lot of mine are sort of, underpants area related stories. So
yeah, but
I guess
that
we have to dress them up.
Yeah, but we can do that. And I mean, we've got some from when we worked together too. When we had our time together in emergency.
All right. Well, we might. Why don't we for the next episode? We'll do a blue episode where the stories are a little bit more off color, and maybe not as straightforward and worth listening to for your kids. But we'll put a few of them in there. The other one I thought about doing, if we're going to go down that rather than being once when I was cool, we're doing once when I worked.
That's when I worked shift work. It was funny.
It's telling ghost stories as well. I was thinking about that the other day. The number of ghost stories that I've got and all these things that you glance out the side of your eye and those types of things. I wonder if that'd be worth looking at doing.
Hey, I can tell you. Let me just tell you.
Let's save them. Funny?
Well, no, it's a little creepy and disturbing.
No, don't ruin it. Don't ruin the. We'll save it for another episode.
Yeah, righto.
All right. No worries. On that note, thanks very much, Simon. Thank you for your help. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Let us know if you want to get in touch with us. onceforschoolpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we are working harder to try and get things back to a regular sort of process. But yeah, thanks for sticking with us. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Wee.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Dave. Bye-bye.